Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to go ahead. It is 1:32, so let me call the August 14th meeting of the Rules Committee to order. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Senators Bates?
Here.
Bates here, Monning?
Here.
Monning here, Roth?
Here.
Roth here, Wilk?
Present.
Wilk here, Atkins?
Here.
Atkins here. We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum. So I'm going to try and establish a consent calendar, and we're going to pull one of the items off of number two. So if we could have a motion on items two, C, D, F, G, H, and I. These are governor's appointees not required to appear. Item number three, reference of bills. Items number 4 through 12, which are floor acknowledgments. If I could have a motion on that.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Senators Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
I would entertain a motion on item number 2E, governor's appointments. Thank you. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Bates?
Not voting.
Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
4-0.
4-0. That is done. Thank you so much, colleagues. And as we bring up our first governor's appointee required to appear, Ms. Kimiko Burton, for member of the State Personnel Board. As you're getting settled, let me just take a moment of personal privilege and welcome back our former pro tem, John Burton, whose picture's right up there, looking good as ever. I guess I can say, well, I don't know, maybe I need a motion to say that. I don't want to get in trouble, Senator. But we're thrilled to see you here. Forgive us, near and dear to our hearts and the institution. So, welcome. So let me invite you to introduce yourself, obviously recognize anyone who's here to support you that you would like to, and then go right into your comments, and then we will go forward with questions and comments.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to apologize. I actually got off an international flight last night at 8 o'clock, so I'm not on my A game. So I apologize if I come across.
So we're going to have an entertaining appointment is what you're telling us.
We are.
We love to be entertained.
That's what we do in my family. So my dad is here. Thanks, Dad. We drove up this morning. I got good marks for making it up here quickly. There was actually no construction between San Francisco and Sacramento. And he said, note this day in history, buy a lottery ticket. We got up here and nothing flat. So I want to thank you all for the opportunity to be before you this afternoon as the governor's appointee to the State Personnel Board, which, as you know, is a constitutionally created board that is responsible for overseeing the state civil service and merit system. Talking to his wrist. I was initially appointed by former Governor Brown 7 years ago, and during my tenure on the board, our primary focus has been the Civil Service Improvement Initiative. In partnership with CalHR and GovOps, the board has made several improvements to the civil service system. We've abolished over 1,000 outdated classifications and consolidated over 150 classifications in fields of information technology, research, and skilled trades. We've also made improvement to the selections process through a number of regulatory and policy changes, including requiring broad and inclusive recruitment strategies and multiple application methods to make it easier for candidates to apply for state service and accessibility improvements. In addition, our compliance review division has conducted over 250 compliance reviews of different HR departments, practices, and 7 special investigations. I can read. Into alleged impropriety such as pre-selection, exam cheating, and nepotism. With respect to appeals, the board has decided over 2,400 appeals from disciplinary actions and over 1,800 merit appeals during my tenure, and we have consistently maintained little to no backlog and approximately 1% of the decisions issued by the board have been reversed by the courts. Approximately 10% are taken up on appeal, and less than 10% of those, so about 1% overall, are overturned. So our affirmation rate is pretty good, be a great batting average. As you may know, I've spent my entire career as a government employee. I started fresh out of law school at the Public Defender's Office. I worked for the Board of Equalization, for the Mayor's Office, for the Public Defender's Office, and I've been with the City Attorney's Office in San Francisco for 16 years managing the child and family team. And so I think my perspective as a government employee and as a manager gives me the balance and the perspective necessary to be an effective board member and to recognize the cases they are presented as they are presented and recognize if there are any challenges to those cases, and knowing what would or would not be upheld by a court should somebody take one of our decisions up. It allows me to effectively weigh the due process rights of the employee in question against the interest of the state of having the best and the brightest state employees. I wish to express my gratitude to the governor for reappointing me to this position, and I am happy to be before you and would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Senator Roth, let's start with you today.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. Congratulations. Thank you. And thank you for your service and for your continued willingness to continue serving our great state. Just one question. In my tenure here, I had the privilege to chair a budget subcommittee that had oversight over our state's IT projects. And early in my tenure, I remember dealing with the state's payroll IT project that didn't make it across the finish line. I'm sure we'll revisit that. But one of the issues that I remember being, it was brought to my attention during that oversight process, was the complexity of our payroll system, classifications, MOUs, and the like. I know you've indicated, and you have made a very substantial effort in attempting, you and the board, in attempting to simplify that system. Do you have any projected completion date? What's the prognosis, if you can tell me?
Well, the challenge, I was meeting with Senator Monning and his staff earlier. Part of the challenge is that everybody, as we sit here today, believes in class consolidation, except when you start talking about the classes and their departments, and then it's sort of like, well, you all can consolidate, but I would actually like to keep my own. And so it becomes really a leadership question. It has to, the department heads have to get on board, and everybody has to be on board with it. If there are consolidations, the unions get to weigh in, everybody gets to weigh in. And so if the message from on high is that this is what we are doing, there's hope that we would be able to get through more. I can't give you a date.
Is that the message that you consistently are hearing from on high, that in fact we need to do this?
Yes, no, I mean, I think everybody wants to do it, and I think that if we ask most department heads, they would also agree that there needs to be class consolidation. But what we have found in practice is that departments are a little more reluctant to give up their own classifications. And the example I used earlier today was that of attorneys. There are attorneys in many different departments. And so if you had one attorney classification, you could apply for the Department of Labor, for the Attorney General's Office, what have you. But departments say, well, I actually need my own attorney classification. You all can have one for you, but I need a special one for me, because it would help employees know which department they will apply for. And the counter argument is, then you apply to that department. You pass a test. And if you want to be an attorney general, you apply for that department. If you want to work for the Department of Labor, you do that. But there definitely are challenges where departments feel a little protective of their own classifications, even though globally they support the idea. So it's a challenge, and I think the impetus is going to have to come from leadership when we start making those challenging consolidations.
I certainly agree, and if it is true that the complexity of our payroll system and classifications and MOU classifications, et cetera, contributes to some of our difficulty in fielding new IT systems, particularly in the HR and payroll area, we're gonna have to get a handle on that. And I commend you and your fellow board members for attempting to do so. And I certainly look forward to and expect the administration to be fully supportive and provide that sort of top-down guidance that you've been referring to. So thank you. I look forward to moving your confirmation at the appropriate time.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. Congratulations on your reappointment, and look forward to supporting it, and I have no questions at this time.
An excellent question. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bates.
Well, let me add my congratulations, and looking at the years that you've served, Ms. Burton, very significant. You're the institutional knowledge, and certainly that is so very important in the work that you're doing. You know, it's not how we used to do it. It's how we've improved from, I think it's 2012, is that correct?
Yes.
That's fantastic. So my question would probably be just that perspective. You came in 2012, pretty young, you know, not too long out of college, and you've seen the...
Oh, you're very kind.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm a woman, and we care about those things, right?
Well, long out of college, yeah. Yes.
But I think that it would be good to just get a quick perspective on the agency now, with a lot of the new regulations that have come forward for labor, also sexual harassment, all of that. How do you see the agency or your assignment kind of from 2012 to the present being better in terms of representing certainly the people and the employees and the whole system?
So one of the changes is when I first came, it was at the beginning of the reorganization that split SPB and CalHR off into two different departments. And so that had started, I think, right before I came on. And so sort of seeing how those entities are becoming separate and yet really quite intertwined. So there is a little bit more clarity about the roles now than there were, because it was sort of a work in progress, and there was really no blueprint because it hadn't been done before. What I have seen in terms of the independent investigations that the department is doing into departments every 3 years, that's new, and I think that that's helpful. It will help us identify trends, good and bad, help us identify sort of best practices in departments, and also with ongoing trainings that need to be done, like sexual harassment, as you mentioned, and helping to make sure, I mean, what we are is the entity to sort of shine a bright light when something goes poorly. It is, as I was saying earlier, sort of up to the leadership to say, you need to do this. But as has happened with the Board of Equalization, a bright light was shown. And so changes were made to the way that the Board of Equalization, frankly, does business now. And I think that that certainly wasn't exclusively because of SPB, but the investigation that the hardworking staff members at that agency did was certainly a big part of that. And we would hope would give other agencies engaging in dubious practices a little bit of pause. Would not want to be sort of see their names in the headlines or be brought before, you know, invited to explain themselves to the board. And so I think that that is something that has been working out well for us.
Well, thank you for your service. It's certainly meritorious and lengthy, and we appreciate that. So congratulations, and
you
certainly will have my support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bates. Senator Monning.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem, and again, I appreciated our chance to get acquainted this afternoon and want to congratulate you on your reappointment, and thank you for stepping up for another round of public service. It's appreciated.
Thank you.
As we discussed briefly, and I think it would be of interest to members of the Rules Committee, based on surveys by the State Personnel Board, in 2018, it was determined that nearly 60% of agencies did not provide sexual harassment training, and that since 2016, the State Personnel Board has identified 1,800 state government supervisors at dozens of agencies who did not receive the required training. So we have that information based on surveys done by SPD, but what do you have any authority to move them into action? It seems like this is not a very encouraging compliance data of doing training that could both protect employees from unwanted harassment, but also protect the state from potential liability.
We're sort of like, I don't know what the channel is here. In San Francisco, we have Seven on your side. It's like investigative journalism, and they go in. And so if your department has 50 people who have not gone through the training, and you know that your department is supposed to go through the training, we expose that. We bring you in, if it warrants it, we bring you in before the board and have you help us understand why you didn't feel it was a priority for your employees to comply with the law and with those mandated training directives. At the end of the day, if the issue were such that the governor thought it warranted, the governor could replace the department head, or managers could be replaced by their department heads, depending on what the issue is. Our job is really to expose that and to make sure that everybody knows that they need to do it, but to expose anything that does not happen.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think it at least provides a starting point that action needs to be taken, and whether that's by the legislature or other state agencies or the governor's office, this just seems unacceptable in our current climate, and it's a disservice to employees and a disservice to taxpayers as well. Anything else you want to share, just moving forward, priorities, concerns? I think I asked you if you had a magic wand.
I had a magic wand. If I had a magic wand, everybody would listen, and everybody would do what they're supposed to do. Everybody would do the training. The managers would make sure that their employees did it. The higher level managers would make sure those managers did it, and the department heads would make sure. And ultimately, the governor and the legislature would make sure that those in charge are doing that which they're charged to do. I mean, this is a public charge. They're entrusted. We, as taxpayers, pay their salaries, and I have rules at work, and they have rules at work, and if I don't follow the rules at work, I don't get to have my job anymore. I'm at will, so I actually don't don't have that same process, but...
Yeah, well, maybe there should be... you don't get your paycheck if you haven't done the training that's required. I'm not asking you to comment on that.
Oh, good.
Speaking out loud. Madam Chair, I don't have further questions. I'm glad to support the nomination today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Monning. Thank you, colleagues. Let me turn to members of the public and ask people who are here in support to come up, state your name, comments, who you might be here on behalf of. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Steve Baker with Aaron Reed & Associates, representing the professional engineers in California government. We were here 7 years ago to support Ms. Burton. She's done a great job since then. I would know that this is not an easy job. Dealing with classifications and discipline affects people's lives and livelihood, and Ms. Burton's been able to do that with aplomb and with our support, so we'd encourage the committee to approve her. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Madam Chair and members, Bob Giroux on behalf of the National Union of Healthcare Workers and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades here in support of Ms. Burton's appointment, or reappointment. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm assuming you're just here for moral support, Mr. Pro Tem. You don't want to speak? You don't have to.
I was just going to say she's as smart as her mother and nicer than her father.
Well said. No. Anyone in opposition? Okay. Seeing none, thank you so much, Senator Roth. Will you please call the roll?
Senators Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
Ms. Burton, congratulations. Unanimous.
Thank you. Okay, I know. Get out.
Yeah. Thank you. It was an honor to see you. Thank you so much. It's always good to see you.
Good to see John.
Well, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
It's good to have you here. We will move to our second item. Jonathan, and I'm going to say Suris. Or please correct me.
That's good enough. Suris.
Suris, okay. Welcome. And you, congratulations, appointment to the UC Board of Regents. So welcome. Please feel free to acknowledge anyone that's here with you. Go right into what comments you'd like to share with us, and then you've seen how that happens. We'll get right into questions and comments.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem, and I'll be very brief. And thank you to all the other senators on the committee, many of who took time out of their very busy days to meet with me, and I appreciate that. My name is Jonathan J. Suris, and here today with me is my 86-year-old mother, Joy Suris, one of my four sisters, Jennifer Jacob Voles, and my significant other and best friend of more than 30 years, BJ Topol, and her sister, Tammy. BJ and I and Tammy all met when we were undergraduates at UCLA. Let me say that this appointment by Governor Brown, by former Governor Brown, and wholeheartedly endorsed by Governor Newsom is perhaps the greatest honor of my life and truly means the world to me. I've had deep ties to the University of California since my days there, and I'm incredibly grateful for everything that the institution has given me. I would not be sitting here today without the world-class education that I received at the University of California. Very briefly, during my tenure as a regent, I would hope to accomplish a few goals. Number one, make the University of California affordable to all Californians. I believe that qualified students should get the same opportunity that I got. Number two, I'd like to help enhance and expand the reach of UC Health. This healthcare system has had a direct impact on my family and in more ways than one, and I firmly believe that quality healthcare is a right, it's not a privilege. I want to make sure that all Californians that need the expertise of UC Health can receive it. And lastly, with the passing of former Regent Tauscher, my colleagues have appointed me as the new vice chair of the National Laboratory Committee. As a result, I want to maintain and grow UC's oversight of these truly remarkable Department of Energy labs and provide innovation and national security and safety to not just our fellow citizens, but to the world as a whole. All of those goals are attainable, they're measurable, and incredibly important to me. And I intend to be insistent, consistent, and persistent in my pursuit to execute the duties as a regent in the most honorable way I know how. So to that end, let me end where I began and say I'm honored to be here and I'm open to answering any questions you may have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Let me start this time with you, Senator Monning.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem, and thank you, Mr. Suris, for your willingness to continue serving the state of California and in the capacity that you just outlined with the further assignment within the Board of Regents. I enjoyed our opportunity to compare notes and our relative tuition fees when we attended UC campuses. I won't tell you what I didn't pay when I was there. It's the finest institute public university system in the world. One of the things we did discuss that I think would be of interest to fellow members of the Rules Committee, the balance between protecting First Amendment and free speech rights and protecting the security and safety of students, faculty, and staff. How do we endeavor to preserve the right but protect the safety and security?
Thank you, Senator. As we spoke about, I did meet with the ADL. One of the first meetings I took as a regent was with the Anti-Defamation League. My mother experienced extraordinary anti-Semitism in her youth. I think it's pretty clear. On one hand, we have hate speech, and on the other side, we have free speech. And I think the job of regents is to find the middle line where even unpopular voices can be heard and allowed to speak, but to the point where someone's life is in danger or it's inciting violence, I'm just never going to allow that to happen under my watch. I think it's very clear. Some people like to say that middle line is difficult to find. I don't think so. I think hate speech is hate speech. It has zero place, no place on the campus of the University of California. And on the other hand, I do want to, as unpopular as it is to hear some speakers at the University of California, I think we have to give them that opportunity. I think that's their right. But they just cannot incite violence, and that's how I draw the line.
Thank you. Another area that we did touch on, too, was looking at relative enrollment figures of various minority populations in the state of California and the relatively low enrollment rates for African Americans. You shared some thoughts on how we can remedy not only access but retention and some of the maybe internal reforms necessary to create an environment that's conducive to reflecting the diversity of California.
Yes, African-American enrollment is low. I don't care what anybody says. Even though it's going up, it's only at 4.5%. It's up from 6 years ago, but it should be up higher. I think there's many issues at play here. I think we need to really develop some of these summer programs so high school students can come to the University of California and understand what it means to go to college, so it's not such a scary thing, so that they feel safer there. I think we need to have more mentorship on campus. And when I mean mentorship, not just student mentorship, we have to grow our African-American faculty and staff so that faculty and staff can mentor students. That's how they feel safe in an unfamiliar environment. It's obvious financial aid is an issue. We have a tremendous competition issues with some of the private universities, and I think we're going to have to find ways around that. It's tricky. And the last thing is, you know, the University of California has outreach to about 400 high schools for college prep and to really educate students on what it is like to be at the University of California. That's a good number. I don't know how productive it is, and that's something I want to look into. I might come back to you and say, let's have 300 schools, but let's do it well. And that's something we're digging into, and that was something we spoke about in our last meeting.
Thank you. I have no further questions. I did want to lead, but I'll conclude by also thanking your family for their support and giving you the support to further serve the people of California.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to you, and thank you to the family.
Thank you. Senator Bates.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Suarez, for actually stepping forward into a very, very challenging position, especially at this time, and I think in our university system, both public and private. We had a great meeting. He was on the hot seat, you guys, but after the questions, I felt like I was. So we had a really good exchange, and I think we found parity with most. My biggest concern has been here, as you may all know, and certainly with the UC system, is the growth of what I consider to be the bureaucracy. I do believe that it impairs the implementation of the vision of the legislators who set the rules and the regs that best respond to the people we come here to serve. And here in UC, we see a growth of administration over the tenured professors and what I consider academia, the staff. And we had a conversation about that, and I did mention I'd like you to share your thoughts on that and what the Regents might be able to do to basically kind of rein it in and bring some balance back.
Yes, thank you, Senator Bates. The bureaucracy is frustrating. You all are involved in government on a daily basis. I'm in the private sector. We do things differently. I think when I look at the bureaucracy, there are moments when I want to lose my hair. And I think what we have done, and I give credit to Gavin, to Governor Brown, and to Governor Newsom, you do need some people coming out of private practice on the Board of Regents that can give that level of expertise. Whoever said that this was a rubber stamp board, maybe it was 3 years ago, it's not now. As I've told a number of you in private session, we go at it with one another. There are very different points of view on that board. Bureaucracy is a big issue. I can assure you that when we look at the Office of the President, where some of the bureaucracy has historically been, we are going line by line on that budget and saying, is this necessary? Do we need it? And is it worth it? And we're going to continue to do that. I think that it takes time as a newly appointed regent. It takes time to understand where the bureaucracy is and what's working well. And the only thing I can do is look at you in the eye and say, I'm going to dig deep into that and try to make sure that we're running the most efficient organization we possibly can.
And I am sure that you will after our, 45-minute discussion we had. So thank you again. Congratulations again, and you will have my support.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. First of all, I'm really excited about your commitment to innovation. I mean, I think that's what sets California apart from the rest of the country. And I know I talked to you about our California Institute of Aerospace, so I'm looking forward to working with you on that. In fact, I ran into UCLA after our meeting, so...
Sounds good to me.
I'd let them know that you're interested in this as well. Obviously, as you know from the Constitution, that you guys are get to operate independently. And I'm just going to give you an anecdotal story, and I have no data to even back it up, but a couple years ago, I ran into a constituent of mine in the Antelope Valley, has a daughter, excellent academically, 4-point-whatever, her lifelong dream to get to Berkeley, did not get into Berkeley, got into University of Michigan. Her cousin, who lives in Michigan, got into Berkeley. And so what's the problem? I understand the need to have out-of-state, and there's a cultural enrichment aspect as well. So what's your view in terms of proper mix there?
We have a mix right now. It's at 18%. I mean, for certain schools, it's gone up. I think there is an aspect of diversity from out-of-state, out-of-country. I think sometimes people refer to out-of-state, but I think in that category, out-of-country is a portion of it. I believe we should have the diversity of out-of-state and out-of-country. We have to be honest with one another and say that out-of-state students do help support in-state students. Their tuition does, and I think that's valuable. But I think we have to walk the fine line. Some of the schools have exceeded their cap. We're talking about what happens when that happens. Currently, if a school exceeds their cap of out-of-state, the excess funds, the differential, goes back to the Office of the President that then can be used for other schools. I think that's reasonable. And I think that we just, as a board, are going to have to figure out what the right number is. A lot of it is going to be budgetary based. And I think as all of us, all regions have the obligation, I think we sit here before you and say our job is to make sure that the University of California educates the most number of Californians, qualified Californians possible. And that's what I'm committed to do.
Great. So a follow-up on that. So you recently voted to increase tuition on out-of-state, out-of-country students. What factors would you consider when making assessment if we needed to raise tuition for in-state students?
Let me say that I voted on that measure. It was a $768 increase for out-of-state students. It hadn't been raised in some time. I didn't want to do it. It would have led to a $25 million shortfall, and no one had a good answer of how that was going to be made up, so that's why I voted for it. In-state, we talk about it all the time. It's the most talked about question within the Board of Regents is about raising tuition on in-state students. I think it will be the last thing any of us will want to do. I think that there will be cajoling, there will be moving monies around, anything possible to prevent that from happening. Inevitably, though, it will happen. And I think it's just going to require leadership. I am incredibly impressed by your former colleague, John Perez, who's our new chairman, on his grasp of this matter. And I think we're going to be looking to the leadership of a couple of regents who have been around the block here to figure out how we don't do that and how we can keep it affordable. It's expensive, but it's still a good deal in comparison to other public universities and certainly private universities around the country. Great. But let me just say one last thing. I don't want to raise tuition. It's the last thing I want to do, and I'm committed to do everything I can before that happens.
Okay, great. Hey, by the way, I wanted a nice tie.
He said to me that my tie looks too much like Tucker Carlson's tie, which was about as offensive as you could say to me. So we were going to change ties, and then I just said, I'll deal with the...
As long as it doesn't trigger anybody, we're good.
Yeah, no.
Good. Anyway, I appreciate our time. Looking forward to supporting your reconfirmation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilk.
Thank you, Senator Roth.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. Congratulations. I actually have no questions. I'm very, very impressed with your resume. If we had more time, I'd like to ask about a few of those things due to fascination and nothing else. I look forward to working with you in your new position, and Madam Pro Tem, I look forward to moving the confirmation at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Senator. And thank you for being here today. I may be following along on the comments that have been in relation to the bureaucracy and the board, and you made a comment, it's not a rubber stamp board, and I'm pretty clear. I've seen the appointments that Governor Brown made in the last several years in an attempt to address kind of an environment and atmosphere on the board. I wanted to ask from your perspective, because I actually served on the Board of Regents when I was Speaker for a period of time, and I always felt that the environment was not very inviting for people who came to speak.
No.
And from your perspective, what does that feel like? Is that also changing? I would really hope, because I really think, you know, people who come to speak come for a reason. Now, you know, but some really, it's their opportunity to be heard, and I always felt like it was a very cold place.
It is. Senator, I agree with you. It is very cold. People are given 1 minute to speak. A buzzer goes off. It's unfortunate. We're not allowed to respond to the questions at that moment, although our secretary does take notes. We get a briefing material packet afterwards where we can respond to the individual constituents who come up and give public comment. But I agree with you. I don't think that's the best way to do it. You know, we have had security issues there, so there's management of security issues. I give it to Chair Perez, who I thought there was over security for a period of time, and the new chair has reduced the amount of security there. I think the sheer volume of police officers there makes it very uninviting when you're a student to go present in front of this board. I think it's something we're going to have to look at, and I appreciate the comment, and I'm happy to talk to Chair Perez about it. I think it's an issue.
Thank you. I understand some of the issues get to be quite difficult in terms of discussion. So certainly security is one thing that's critically important, and how you strike the balance of making people feel welcome despite the fact that you have to consider all these other things. I am thrilled about the board, the regents, and the appointments and the work that's being done now to grapple with all of the issues that we continue to bring up. At the state of things that we're in, tuition is always going to be an issue, how to try to keep it down and affordable, and certainly the state's contribution, as well as how we're able to supplement financial aid and all of those things. The issues of the percentage of out-of-state and out-of-country students, I think that the regents have really strived very hard in the last few years to deal with all of those issues. And so I appreciate the work that's being done. I see real movement. I just wondered how people felt when they were able to come in and speak, because from my perspective, I thought that was a huge issue when I was there, and it always made me feel a little bit uncomfortable for the people who wanted to speak. Having said that, I also applaud your work, and certainly stepping into the shoes as it relates to the vice chair for the laboratories, and certainly Representative Tauscher and the work that she did. I had an opportunity to meet with her a number of times, and specifically on a number of those issues, and I thought she was incredibly gifted. And so big shoes for you to fill, but it's quite an honor to be put in that position, and I'm sure I was happy to see your enthusiasm about that role.
Thank you.
I think lastly, I would just say thank you for your service. We've done these appointments for the regents time and time again, and it's always really interesting to hear appointees speak, because inevitably it's a lifelong dream of whoever's sitting there to actually serve on that body. And so thank you for your commitment, your dedication. And with that, I will see who is here in support that would like to speak. Your family's nodding their head. they're strongly supporting you from the second row. In opposition. Okay. Senator Roth has moved the confirmation. Madam Secretary.
Senators Bates.
Bates, aye.
Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
Congratulations, unanimous. This was a good day for members of the public. They don't always go so easily, so we don't take these moments for granted. Congratulations, and we will adjourn into executive session momentarily as people are...